Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Michael Cutler Hour. I am your host, Michael Cutler. It is always a pleasure and privilege to join you at the end of the week to play the inevitable game of catch-up. It's always exciting to see what's going to happen next, and that's kind of like where we are today. Today, of course, January the 13th, Friday the 13th, 2017. Today, I really want to focus on sanctuary cities and the impact that it has on America, on Americans, on national security. And let's take a hard look at how all of this nonsense also plays where civil rights are concerned. Senator Jeff Sessions got quite a grilling this past week. He's the nominee, of course, for Attorney General for the incoming Trump administration. And the media has somehow conflated this notion that civil rights and immigration law enforcement are in opposition with each other, when in reality, the immigration laws further civil rights in America for Americans, and particularly American minorities. You know, I wrote this article for Front Page Magazine that appears today. I hope you go see it, and if you like it, please forward the link to my article to as many folks as you can, perhaps post it on Facebook or other social media, because this is a very important issue. And I wrote about this for Front Page Magazine. Front Page Mag, by the way, frontpagemag.com is the website. I also, as you know, have been affiliated for years with a terrific organization, Californians for Population Stabilization. CAPSWeb.org is their website. I write for The Social Contract, and in fact, the winter edition of their quarterly journal will be coming out within a couple of weeks. It will be available online for my favorite price, free, and I have an article in that publication. So this has been about getting the word out. And of course, my own website is my personal favorite, michaelcutler.net. And that's the whole point to what I've been doing, is to try to provide the information that the mainstream media will not provide. By the way, on this coming Tuesday, I will be a guest, or at least I'm scheduled to be a guest, on One America News with Graham Ledger. The Daily Ledger is his terrific show on One America News Network. This is about providing the information that you're not going to get anywhere else. And when you look at the way that Jeff Sessions has been castigated, because he said, let's enforce the immigration laws, let's not displace American workers by foreign workers, somehow the media has turned this into a negative. You know, how in the world does this guy want to uphold the civil rights laws when he doesn't want to impose comprehensive immigration on America and Americans? So what I wrote about in my article for Front Page Magazine, Immigration Failures Versus Americans, How Law Enforcement Failures Undermine our Citizens' Civil Rights, I focused on the fact that, and this has been lost, I think, in the public mind, that primarily the immigration laws, especially the civil laws and the Civil Rights Law of 1964, focused on American blacks. Because of slavery, because of Jim Crow, because of segregation, because of the nonsense about separate and equal where education is concerned. That was the incentive for the Civil Rights Law, to undo all the damage that was done to American citizens purely because of their skin color. And when I hear people jumping up and shouting about Black Lives Matter, what these folks demonstrating are missing is that all that they are doing is driving a wedge between themselves and the rest of the citizens of the United States. If your goal is to provide opportunities for Black Americans, If the goal is to tear down barriers, why on earth would you erect barriers and alienate yourselves from your fellow Americans? That's the issue that needs to be considered. Why in the world would you do this? You see, all lives matter. And when you look at what has happened with civil rights laws, understand that one of the key provisions of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 led to the creation under Title VII of the Federal Code of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Equal Employment Opportunity. And in this case, the word opportunity has a dual meaning. Number one, they want opportunities for Americans to be employed and be employed fairly, same pay for same work and so forth. But employment provides opportunities. Without a job, you cannot support yourself. Without a job, you have a real issue with self-image. You know, if you ask somebody, who are you? They're going to start out telling you, I'm a man or I'm a woman. They're going to tell you what their religion is. They might tell you that they're a parent or a brother or a son or a wife or a daughter or a mother. But before very long, they're going to tell you what they do for a living. If someone said to me, who are you? I'm American, I'm a man, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm Jewish, I'm a retired federal agent. It figures generally within the top five issues. Some people might even tell you that before they tell you anything else. What are you? I'm a doctor. What are you? Carpenter. It gives us identity. Work gives us a mission that we have to do every day. We get up in the morning, we get dressed, and we head off to work. Work is an integral part of our lives. I remember reading an article where they said that the loss of a job is as traumatic as almost as traumatic as the loss of a loved one for some people. And when people lose their jobs or when people are unable to be gainfully employed, imagine what that does to them. Imagine the harm that that does. These are people who are suffering. And they suffer from poverty. And I address the poverty issue in my article. I really hope you go read it. But what I really want you to understand is how this damage of unemployment and poverty impacts all Americans, and in particular, American minority members. And you know, the civil rights laws were ultimately expanded, so it wasn't only for Black Americans. It included ethnic minorities. It included women and people of varying sexual preferences and orientation, people of different religions. And that's fine because the idea is that nobody should be discriminated against. Discrimination is toxic, it's criminal, it's immoral, it's wrong. But I fear that perhaps we're also along the way of broadening the protection afforded under the civil rights laws, that Americans are forgetting what started this, how this all began, and it was the notion that we had to undo the damage created by slavery and segregation. But certainly, people should be treated equally under the law and in the workplace, equal pay, equal work. This is supposed to be a meritocracy. It's supposed to be a meritocracy. I don't like quotas because quotas are an imperfect way to address the issues. But we need to create opportunities for Americans. You know, Ed Koch, who I thought was a terrific mayor, said that he was an old-time liberal. And he defined an old-time liberal as somebody who believed in completely leveling the playing field, letting everybody play, and then whoever wins, wins. Folks, that's not what's happening in America today. We have gone far from being a meritocracy, especially when you can witness how many times American workers who for decades have been loyal employees of companies have been fired, not because they did something wrong, not because they were negligent, not because they lacked the qualifications, but because the company they worked for decided to displace them with foreign workers. That's outrageous. And of course, the impact on America's minorities has been staggering, but no less so than it has been of late for American middle-class workers black or white or Latino or of Asian ancestry, whatever the religion, doesn't matter. Americans are getting hammered. Americans are losing their jobs. Americans are losing their capacity to support themselves and their families. And Americans are finding that the American dream has become a very elusive dream at that. And why? Because of immigration. And I have to tell you that when I listen to the talking heads on TV, recently Juan Williams over at Fox News talking about why Jeff Sessions has a problem with the civil rights issue because he refused to sign off on comprehensive immigration reform, I thought my head was going to explode. How in the world is it against civil rights for a member of Congress, whether it's a senator, whether it's a representative, whether it's a president, to be happy to provide equal status to illegal aliens in a workplace that doesn't have enough jobs for Americans right now? It's been estimated that there are 95 million working-age Americans who have left the labor force. The lack of American worker participation in the labor force is more than disturbing. It's an outrage. And, you know, I've heard the glib, oh, well, the folks that aren't working, they just want to collect their welfare check. Baloney. Yes, you have the hardcore unemployed. No argument. We do. And maybe it's 3 or 4%. But we're talking about 95 million Americans who've given up. Given up. And why have they given up? They've given up because even when we create jobs, most of those jobs these days don't pay anything of value. Minimum wage service jobs. All jobs aren't equal. And there was Juan Williams, and I've heard this from other people, on TV, doesn't matter what network. They equate a lack of support for comprehensive immigration reform with a lack of support for civil rights when the exact opposite is the case. The Washington Post ran an article on January the 10th, and this was really outrageous. Excuse me. It starts out saying, 10 things to know about Senator Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump's pick for attorney general. And then they put in this little notice. This post originally appeared on The Fix. That's a column, I guess, within the Washington Post. In mid-November, when President-elect Donald Trump named Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions as his pick for Attorney General. With Sessions' confirmation hearing set for Tuesday, we are republishing it. And a lot of it deals with Jeff Sessions' stand on immigration. You know, what's left out of this conversation about immigration is why we had immigration laws in the first place and who enforced them. Initially, the enforcement of America's immigration laws were the responsibility of the Department of Labor. Prior to the Second World War, the Labor Department was the key agency for enforcing the immigration laws. Why? To make certain that American workers would not have to compete with foreign workers for jobs. And that's critical, because you can always go around the world and find somebody who is so desperate that he or she will gladly become an indentured servant to get some money, to work for that bowl of slightly warm rice for a dollar a day. People around the world suffer from extreme poverty, and most people don't think about it. There are more than 7 billion human beings inhabiting planet Earth right now. Probably half of them live below anything that you or I would consider to be the poverty line. These are desperate people who will do anything. There are countries around the world where parents willingly sell their children into indentured servitude and their girls into prostitution, and they don't care. They just need the money. America's sense of morality and the way that we treat children in particular is laudatory, but not emulated by lots of people around the world. How many times do we hear those horrific stories of the sweatshops around the world, because we've closed them here in the United States? So these unscrupulous corporations move their factories to Malaysia and to Africa and to other countries where little kids are working on the assembly lines, pennies a day, cranking out the clothing and the other stuff that we like to buy here in the United States, but we forget the conditions under which the clothing or these other items were manufactured in factories all over the world. You know, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire in the United States that killed hundreds of young women, primarily immigrants, was horrific, and it led to legislation that dealt with employment standards and workplace safety standards. Do you not think that those conditions, horrific conditions, exist elsewhere in the world today? Of course they do. And it is more than naive to think that the solution is to bring every foreign worker to the United States. How in the world could the United States absorb a couple of billion people? So if at some point you agree that we've got to stop the flow of workers into the United States, and I personally think that with a couple of exceptions, we have enough workers in the United States. In fact, increasingly, what we are finding is that we're going to automation. You know, go watch those shows on TV, How It's Made, and you'd be amazed to see how cars are manufactured. I remember when I was a kid seeing the old videos about the old Ford Motor Company, where you had these burly guys in grease-spattered coveralls moving the car from one workstation to the next, where they put on the wheels and they put on the brakes and they installed the engine and they installed the transmission and they screwed in the seats. And these were all done by hand on an assembly line. And the assembly line itself was a revolution. Well, now the revolution is that robots do it. Go watch these films. It's amazing. The videos of how cars are put together today, most of the assembly line is automated. I remember my dad bought a 64 Chevy. It was the only new car we ever bought. He worked on the World's Fair, had some extra money because of all the overtime that he worked, and we went out and bought a new Chevy. I got to pick the colors, which was dangerous because I'm colorblind, and my dad's arrangement with me was that I could pick the colors as long as, of course, as my mom and dad approved of it. So we got a maroon car with a beige interior. I thought it looked real snazzy. It was a Chevy Bel Air, not even the Impala, because the Impala was a little bit more expensive. And I had to keep the car clean for him. And he was a construction worker, so I remember washing the car as long as the temperature was above freezing. As soon as he pulled into the driveway, I was out there with the steel wool cleaning the white wall tires and hosing down the car and soaping it and cleaning the windows. And I was a teenager, and it was exciting for me, and I was happy to do it for my dad. But I remember when he bought the car, people warned him, try not to buy a car that's manufactured on Mondays because the people on the assembly line might be fighting a hangover. Maybe the welders wouldn't be doing it right, or the guys that tighten the bolts on the chassis wouldn't be doing it right. Well, that's not the case today, folks. They have machinery, robots on the assembly line, welding and moving one part of the car to one workstation to another workstation, and down it goes. And eventually, you do get to see some people on the production line, but every year, it seems as though the number of people who actually work on the production line shrinks. We're automating so much of our work. And meanwhile, we keep on bringing in more foreign workers than the number of new jobs we're creating, and Senator Sessions stands up and says, hey, enough, enough. We don't have enough work for Americans. Let's make sure we get Americans back to work. And somehow, the open borders anarchists have convinced the American people that when a senator stands there and talks about poverty in America and talks about the dangers of illegal immigration and talks about how H-1B visas are destroying opportunities for middle-class workers, people who've gone to college and gotten advanced degrees, and Sessions stands up and says, we've got to stop this. We're destroying opportunities for Americans. How in the world is that a demonstration of a lack of consideration for Americans or a lack of consideration about our civil rights? It's nuts. And yet, turn on the TV, and we have politicians saying it. We have journalists saying it. They attack someone like Sessions because why? He said, let's not have comprehensive reform. It would be dangerous from a national security perspective, and it would flood the work pool, and we have a legal system, we shouldn't be doing this. And instead of people saying what a great job he's doing standing up for Americans, He's castigated for it. And if you look at this Washington Post article, here's what they said. After Sessions became one of the first members of Congress to endorse Trump this February, he became an advisor on almost every major decision and policy proposal Trump made during the campaign. And then they go on and say this. A top Sessions aide helped Trump communicate his immigration policy. Sessions chaired the Trump National Security Advisory Committee. Sessions advised Trump on who to choose for vice president. Sessions was also in the running himself for the number two job. And then they say that the president-elect has been unbelievably impressed with Senator Sessions and his phenomenal record as Alabama's attorney general and U.S. attorney, a Trump transition statement released Thursday read. It is no wonder the people of Alabama re-elected him without opposition. In a relatively short time, Sessions has elevated himself from backbencher to, quote, arguably one of the top five power players in the country now, said Alabama GOP consultant Brent Buchanan. Here's a crash course in the politician likely to be a pivotal figure in the Trump administration. And they talk so much about immigration. Why? We built the middle class in the United States by making certain that Americans would not compete with foreign workers. Yet Alan Greenspan, when he testified for Chuck Schumer way back, and I've talked about this before, April 30th, 2009, on a hearing about comprehensive reform, Greenspan talked about how we have made a privileged elite out of American high-skilled workers. That means STEM people, science, technology, engineering, math, computer programmers, and so forth. Called them a privileged elite earning a wage premium because they're not being made to compete with foreign workers. And they said if we could take down that shield that shields American workers from foreign competition, we could get rid of that wage premium they're being paid and thereby greatly reduce inequality in wages between Americans with skills and those with lesser skills. So what was Greenspan saying? If we could get more foreign workers into the United States, which is what Bill Gates wants, and he quoted Gates, by the way, then unbelievably, we could get rid of that wage premium and thereby reduce wage inequality. In other words, let's cut the salaries of middle-class, highly skilled, highly talented, and highly educated workers so that their wages aren't much more than the wages of some guy that gets out of high school and gets a job somewhere. This is the engineered destruction of the middle class. And for people who claim that they're concerned about civil rights, one of the cornerstones of civil rights, one of the key issues, was the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission to guarantee that minorities, blacks initially, but they've expanded it, that minorities would enjoy the same job security, the same salaries, the same working conditions, opportunities to excel, opportunities to succeed in America by getting a good job. That's the key to success in America. You want a nicer house? Get a job that pays more money. You want to buy that sports car? Get a job that pays more money. You want to go on vacation? You got it. Get the job that pays more money. That's success. The American success story is about earning a good paycheck. That's why the EEO Commission, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, was created by the civil rights legislation of 1964 so that American blacks initially would have equal opportunities for a job, for promotion, for wages, for working conditions. What could not be fairer about that? I don't like quotas because we should be treating, especially by now, people of equal ability, you know, we have to not limit people because of their race or religion. That might be a radical thought for some folks. But, you know, we need to be fair with each other. But certainly discrimination needs to be stamped out. Everybody needs to be able to get a good job if they're willing to work hard. The problem is there's a shortage of jobs. And now we exacerbate the shortage of jobs. How? By bringing in foreign workers. And even those people who don't lose their jobs wind up facing reduced wages because labor is a commodity. So if somebody is not willing to accept third world wages, then they just bring in somebody from the third world who will. And that's exactly what we're doing. And with the impact of illegal immigration, look at what this does in the communities where kids live in poverty, where they want to get that first job. You know, there's a conundrum that you can't get a job without a resume, but how do you have something to put on a resume until you've had a job? So it's a vicious cycle. I can't get a job, so I don't have a resume, and I don't have a resume to show, so I can't get a job. Well, when I was growing up, I worked in a kosher deli in Brooklyn, and as a Jewish kid from Brooklyn, not a shocker there. Many of my friends, in fact, worked in restaurants as waiters and busboys and dishwashers and delivery boys. We did all kinds of work as teenagers. And by doing that, we then had a reference. We could go back to the owner of that restaurant, go back to the owner of whatever company we worked for, and said to the guy the following summer, I just had a job opportunity. Can I get a letter of reference? And now you've got something for that resume and a letter of reference. And then the next summer, you got a slightly better job. For me, it was working in a day camp. Boy, that was exciting. But before I could get the job in the day camp, I had to get a letter of reference from the people who had hired me to work in their kosher deli in Brooklyn. And they gave me a very nice letter, and then I worked in a day camp. And then when I was in college, the opportunity presented itself, believe it or not, to work for what was then First National City Bank. Today it's called Citibank, signing up companies on what was then the Everything Card. That was the forerunner to Visa and MasterCard. See, everyone takes credit cards for granted. Back then, it was a novel idea. All that they had was Diners Club and American Express, and then the banks got involved, and they wanted more stores signed up on their system, and that was the Everything Card. And as I say, the Everything Card morphed into Visa and MasterCard, and my job was to go around and sign up businesses, and I got a commission for the businesses that I signed up, and I was given a nice weekly paycheck. But the reason I was able to get that job was I had a couple of references from when I was in high school where I worked on other jobs. That's the American success story. That's how you build on success. But when kids in the tough neighborhoods can't find a job, what do they use for a reference? What do they use for a reference? How do you break the cycle of poverty without a job? The answer is you can't. If you're concerned about civil rights, you need to be concerned about how we are not employing Americans, which leads to poverty, which leads to despair, which leads to a whole bunch of societal issues as well as personal issues. There's a solution to this, and the solution is to make certain that Americans get the jobs. And yet, anybody who would dare make that statement is castigated as somehow being against minorities, somehow being against civil rights. Civil rights are the rights of citizens to be full participants in society, in government, to vote, and to work. And immigrants who are here legally have a lesser set of civil rights because they can't vote, but if they have a green card, they're certainly entitled to work. And you can't discriminate against them. If you do, it's a serious charge. It's part of the Immigration Reform Act that Reagan signed. You cannot not hire somebody because they have a green card and they're not citizens. Believe it or not, that would be considered a violation of civil rights. So how on earth do you conflate support for effective immigration law enforcement that protects the jobs and the lives of Americans with being opposed to civil rights? But this is the lie. And when you hear it on television, you won't hear anybody stand up and say, wait a moment, we can't bring the world here. We don't have enough jobs for Americans. Let's protect the ability of Americans to get the jobs so they can be successful. Let's break the cycle of poverty that leads to crime and violence and illness and a host of other societal issues. It starts with common sense. You don't bring sand to the beach. We have more than enough workers. There's no reason to import workers, folks. unless you're with the Chamber of Commerce. And then, of course, you want to bring more workers in because now you can drive down the wages. And then when people say, well, how do you enforce the immigration laws? Where does the money come from? We're losing hundreds of billions of dollars a year in remittances, money being wired back to their home countries. And you add the multiplier effect into that, and I will tell you that these remittances alone more than account for the growth of the national debt for the United States of America every year. So Jeff Sessions, unlike so many other Republicans, to be blunt about it, and certainly unlike the Democrats, because they have really knifed working class Americans in the back, what a betrayal. The Democratic Party used to be the party of blue-collar, hard-working Americans. You'd never know it to listen to their rhetoric. You'd never know it to look at the laws that they're trying to get enacted, starting with comprehensive immigration reform. And Jeff Sessions stands there and says, let's protect American workers, especially Americans at risk, Americans at poverty. And we're talking here now about our minority community. And you have supposed journalists on television turning that statement upside down, inside out, and sideways, and using that as proof that he has no compassion for minorities and doesn't care about civil rights? Wow. Wow. Anybody who believes that nonsense either has a flatline EEG and can't fog a mirror or is a damn liar. The key to success is a good job. That's what you build on. That's why people go to college. Ask most kids, why are you in college? Ask their parents, why are you spending so much money on tuition? And they're going to tell you, because I want my child to get a good job when he or she gets out of college. Lots of luck, because the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have wanted for decades to flood America with as many foreign workers as possible, and they are. And look at the lies. We don't turn out the engineers and the scientists we need, so we got to bring them here from other countries. So right now there are 514,000 foreign students in the United States studying the STEM curriculum. China and India, by a country mile, leading the parade. China building up its military. I guarantee you that the engineers that are designing their weapons systems and their airplanes and their tanks and their ships were educated in the United States. Their programmers that have been hacking our computers were educated in the United States. And then they get jobs at American companies that do contract work for the military. And surprise, 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 they spy on us. Wow, there's a shock, folks. Hard to believe. And then we have the folks from India who get their degrees in the United States, and then the employers are happy to hire them. And by the way, one of the hallmarks of the Obama administration was to expand the categories of foreign students eligible to get what's known as practical training, optional practical training, and then expand how many years they can work here. So not only are these students being educated so that they can compete with American workers, but they're being allowed to compete with American workers as soon as they get their degrees or even while they're in school, getting what they call optional practical training. So they fire Americans and they hire the foreign students who, by the way, they don't have to pay Social Security for or workman's comp for. And they don't have to pay Obamacare for. Hopefully Obamacare will be the thing of the past in short order. But right now, at equal pay, a foreign student who displaces an American student saves the average employer thousands upon thousands of dollars a year because of what that employer does not have to pay when they employ a foreign student who's getting optional practical training, OPT. How in the world does this help American minorities or any American worker for that matter? And these are positions that Jeff Sessions has staked out. Go to his website. You know, I'm not on his payroll. I'm saying this to you as an American and a very angry American. It's time that our government put the needs of Americans first. That's what we need to be doing. When Paul Ryan said we're not going to deport the dreamers, not so fast, Paul. Not so fast. Not what I think is a good idea. We need to look case by case at people who are here, and the law provides for that. But when you drop a blanket over a million or more people who are here illegally and continue them along their path to lawful status, that's not in America's best interests. That is not in the best interests of the average American family, the average American worker, the average American student. Certainly not in the best interests of America's minorities. Don't conflate foreign workers with civil rights. Look at Americans and ask what's happened to their rights, what's happened to their wages, what's happened to their opportunities, what's happened to their share of the American dream. Isn't it remarkable, and I always am compelled to make the point, that if you go out there and have a debate about immigration and use the word alien, you will be accused probably of a hate crime today. Oh my God, he said alien. Well, that nonsense started with Jimmy Carter. The term alien is a legal term that simply means any person, not a citizen or national of the United States. There's no insult there. And the word alien, nevertheless, engenders such strong emotions and such strong responses from the open borders immigration anarchists, unless you talk about dreamers. Because the A in dreamers is the word, you guessed it, aliens, alien minors. They were so eager to connect illegal aliens getting lawful status with the American dream, suddenly, unbelievably, the word alien became palatable because they could link it to the American dream. So the word alien is a wonderful word for them, provided you use it in only one place, the dreamers, the alien miners. That's okay, but don't say alien otherwise, because they will probably pick at you and scream at you and yell at you and make all kinds of hurtful accusations about you. But if you say dreamers, that's okay. Let's just forget that the A in dreamers is alien miners. Alien miners, by the way, my rear end, because aliens participating in the dream program could be as old as 31. Now, I am well on the wrong side of 60. 31 sounds young to me, but hardly a minor. See, it's lie after lie after lie. And so they attack Jeff Sessions, and understandably so. If you're a swindler, if you're immoral, if you don't give a damn about your fellow Americans, then of course you're not going to like Jeff Sessions, because he made the situation for Americans his focus. What was this man thinking of? Does he think he's supposed to represent them in the hallowed halls of Congress? My gosh, that's a scary thought. A member of the Senate putting Americans first. What will Jeff Sessions do next? I can hardly imagine. This is the level of betrayal that we are facing from our politicians, from our government today. If people wonder why people have no faith in their government, look at the people who criticize Jeff Sessions for not wanting to pass comprehensive immigration reform. And by the way, I'll make the point again, I make it every chance I get, if we are corrupt, inept, and stupid enough to give the 30 or 40 million illegal aliens in the United States lawful status, because that's really what the number would be. Reagan was a disaster for immigration, didn't hire enough agents, gave the first amnesty. I'm no fan of Ronald Reagan, and I know there are plenty of conservatives that will get angry with me, but I'm not a conservative, so there. I'm an American. We were told by the Reagan administration that a million aliens would come out of those shadows. You wound up with almost 4 million. Now the number's 12 million, do the math, 30, 40 million, 45 million, who knows? You know, before you jump off a diving board, don't they tell you to check the depth of the water in the pool? No one knows what the depth of the water in the pool of illegal aliens is. All they know is they want us to dive off the deep end. And that deep end may be a lot deeper than we think it is. And then these illegal aliens who would become legalized would immediately have the right to petition the government overnight, the absolute right, the unquestioned right, to bring every single one of each and every one of their minor children to America overnight and enroll them in our schools. And this isn't Mike Cutler bashing immigrants or children, although they probably would portray it that way. It's looking at the reality of what education is today in the United States. How many hardworking teachers? I'm tired of all the teacher bashing. There are some really bad teachers. Yes, there's also some very good teachers, and we need to recognize that as well. And how many teachers are so dedicated that out of their meager salaries, they reach into their nearly empty wallets and buy school supplies for the kids in their classrooms because their schools don't have the money to buy the supplies they desperately need? What happens when that school population doubles or triples because comprehensive immigration reform could possibly allow tens of millions of foreign children who can't speak English to immediately legally enter the United States and attend our schools? What would happen to the educational system? What would happen in the inner cities, which are struggling right now? How in the world does anybody who gives a rat's tail about Americans and American kids and American minorities stand by and talk about how wonderful it would be to bring in millions of foreign workers and millions of foreign students and really destroy any shred of any opportunity for Americans, especially American blacks and American Latinos and others? Civil rights and immigration, my goodness gracious. And then we get to my friend Lou Barletta. I know Lou because he was the mayor of a town in Pennsylvania, Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and he woke up one morning and found that a gang from the Dominican Republic selling drugs had set up shop in his once peaceful town where they hadn't had a murder in years. And suddenly there's a homicide. Suddenly there's drug trafficking and crimes of violence and the people go crazy and runs down to Washington and says to the Bush administration, George W. Bush, I'm the mayor of Hazleton. You got to help me. We are overflowing with a criminal gang from the Dominican Republic. By the way, I assure you that those Dominicans did not run the Mexican border or the Canadian border. They came through international airports. Maybe they went into Puerto Rico and came to America falsely claiming to be American citizens. I'm very familiar with this problem. I spent half of my 30-year career with the Drug Task Force. We have a huge problem with drug traffickers, not just from Mexico, but from the Dominican Republic, from Jamaica, from Pakistan, from Israel, from Russia, from Europe, from Africa. You see, this isn't about race, religion, or ethnicity, because everybody, from every race, every religion, every ethnicity, every part of the world, you have the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that is human nature. Just like everybody bleeds red, no matter what the color of your skin is, human nature is human nature is human nature. Every race, every religion, every nationality, every ethnicity has the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when he went to the Justice Department under George W., when he went to the White House, they said, hey, Mayor, we'd love to help you, but we can't, so we won't. But you can have a mug with a badge on it. And that's what they did. They actually gave Mayor Lou Barletta a mug with a badge on it. I kid you not. I was with Lou. We did a speaking event that was covered by C-SPAN at Emory-Riddle University in Florida. If you read my article on Front Page Magazine, and the title, Congressman Lou Barletta's bill to defund sanctuary cities, getting the new year off to a great start. Please read both those articles, this one and the one about immigration failures. Post it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Get as many people as possible to read this. Let's get the truth out there for a change, folks. That's what this program is about. That's why I write for CapsWeb.org. That's why I write for FrontPageMag.com. That's why I write for The Social Contract. To get the truth out there, because you're not getting the truth in the mainstream media. It's lies and propaganda and insults and innuendos and accusations. It's propaganda. And it's not about political correctness. It's about Orwellian speak. It's about George Orwell and Newspeak. It's about lies being foisted on the American people by dishonest and inept and incompetent and corrupt journalists. It's got to end at some point. The truth needs to be out there. This isn't about hatred. This is simply about self-defense and looking out for Americans, looking out for America. And so Lew was the first mayor in the United States to enact immigration ordinances that would penalize landlords who would intentionally provide housing to illegal aliens and employers that would intentionally hire illegal aliens. He was promptly sued. I was the final witness at the trial on Lew's behalf. I was very proud to do that for him. Lew subsequently became a member of Congress and sits on two Homeland Security committees in the House of Representatives. And Lew, for the third time this year, he did it the other two times, he's a third term in Congress, proposed H.R. 83. H.R. 83 would totally, completely defund cities that don't cooperate with immigration. Very simple. Sanctuary cities are magnets for aliens who are here illegally, who entered the United States, possibly surreptitiously, sneaking in, entered without inspection. This lie, oh, they entered undocumented. Really? Entered undocumented? No, they entered without inspection. If you run the border, you're entering without inspection. That was the official terminology I used as an immigration agent. And if they're coming with visas, don't tell me they came undocumented. They came with a damn passport. That's not undocumented. It's a make-believe word made by make-believe politicians with make-believe morality, led by Jimmy Carter, because he started that nonsense, entered undocumented. It's not even a verb. What the hell does it mean, entered undocumented? Lie after lie after lie. No, they entered without inspection. Try to get on an airplane without a ticket. Try to get to the boarding gate without a boarding pass. I want to fly undocumented. Really? I don't think so. Well, it doesn't. You can't fly there, and this doesn't fly here. We admit more than 1 million lawful immigrants every year. We admit tens of millions of temporary visitors from other countries. We call that non-immigrants. Immigrants are those that are coming permanently. Why bother having a legal process if it doesn't matter how you come here? Why bother with a border patrol? Why bother with inspectors at ports of entry, the job I did for the first 4 years of my career? If it doesn't matter, let's end the charade. We could save $14 billion a year. And that's just over at Customs and Border Protection. We have over 60,000 people there. You could save more money by getting rid of all the people at State Department that issue visas. Why bother if it doesn't matter how you come here? Does it matter or doesn't it matter? It's a very easy question. Does it matter or doesn't it matter? If it does not matter whether or not you're inspected, then let's fire the Border Patrol tomorrow and stop wasting our time. Let's be blunt about it. You either agree with the mission of the Border Patrol or you don't. Because if people get past the Border Patrol, to say that now they're home free makes as much sense as telling police officers that if they get a call that there's a bank robbery in progress, if they don't get there before the bank robbers leave the bank, then they can't chase them outside the bank because too bad, they're gone, you got to forget about it. To think that when someone gets past the Border Patrol that we're just going to let them be is the equivalent of telling the police, do not chase someone who robs a bank and leaves the bank before you can get there. They're in the wind and you have to ignore them. Does that make any sense to anybody? Is that not the equivalent of what they're telling us to do? They're here. We can't deport them all. Let's forget about them. Better yet, let's not forget about them. Let's give them citizenship. Wow, that's great. You know, by that reason, we could have a crime-free America. You'll need a 12-gauge shotgun to go out to buy a newspaper or a container of milk because all you would have to do is decriminalize all the laws. You know the song, Anything Goes? There we go. Anything goes. Do whatever you want. We're going to eliminate the criminal statutes. Lots of luck. Where immigration is concerned, that's exactly what they're doing, and it's both political parties. It's both political parties that have accepted the bribes of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and every other group profiting by exploitation of cheap labor, legal and illegal cheap labor. This is such a lack of morality on a scale that America has never seen before and can't survive if it doesn't end. Because if you have no secure borders, if you have no way to keep enemy combatants and spies and terrorists out of your country, then you have no legitimate need for a military. How does the military protect us when terrorists can easily fly into an international airport and kill lots of people like they did on 9/11, like we saw at San Bernardino, like we saw at Fort Hood, American, but understand, we are allowing the enemy in. We saw it at the Boston Marathon. That family got political asylum. I'm Jewish. I'm a big fan of asylum. Not when you can't screen the people we let in. Not when there is no integrity to the process. The Tsarnaev family got asylum, and they promptly went back to Russia. And then their two kids showed their gratitude by a devastating attack on the Boston Marathon. This is nuts. This is nuts. We're spending trillions of dollars on the military, but the enemy is coming in, not on the oceans. You know, we see those commercials from the Navy, to get to you, they got to get through us. No, they don't. No, they don't. All they got to do is buy an airplane ticket, hop on an airplane, fly into Kennedy, fly into LAX, fly into Miami, fly into Boston, fly into Houston or Dallas, Fort Worth, pick an airport, Chicago, O'Hare, and do your thing. And we're not going to bother with you because we have sanctuary cities and we don't care if you have false names. We don't care if in New York City the mayor has given nearly a million illegal aliens municipal ID, and at the mere thought that Donald Trump might use those IDs as a starting point to locate illegal aliens, they're now seeking to destroy the documents. You know, after 9/11, we were told that nobody connected the dots. Mayor de Blasio wants to erase the dots. That's how twisted and sick America has become. 25 years ago, if you would have told me this would be happening, I would tell you that you were in need of a padded room and some psychiatric treatment. If Tom Clancy had written a book like this prior to 9/11, showing 9/11 and everything that happened afterwards and everything that did not happen afterwards, his publisher would have said, Tom, you've lost your mind. Find a different way to make a living. No one's going to read this garbage because it's not possible. It's not only possible, it's playing out. It's playing out in 300 cities across America. Sanctuary cities shielding and harboring aliens who snuck into the country. And the immigration laws have nothing to do with race, religion, or ethnicity. Mayors of sanctuary cities tried to portray themselves as heroes. Maybe kind of like the Freedom Riders that helped desegregate the South, people who, some of them, lost their lives. Well, those Freedom Riders were genuine, bona fide heroes. They were moral, decent, amazing Americans. Mayors of sanctuary cities are betrayers. They're villains. They're as evil as they come. People are dying on a daily basis because we are unable to keep the drugs and the gangs and the criminals out of the United States. Americans are losing their jobs to foreign workers, even when they do their jobs so well that their bosses credit them with being wonderful, and then they get called in and fired. Walt Disney did that, the Disney World people. And you know what? I wouldn't go to Disney World if they paid me. We need to start boycotting these places that stab their workers in the back because they happen to be Americans. The civil rights laws said that nobody should face discrimination based on national origin. But you know what? Today, Americans are facing discrimination. It's a violation of that civil rights law. And Jeff Sessions has been the loudest and clearest voice on it. And he's the one that gets attacked. My gosh, it takes my breath away. And the networks put these people out there to spew their nonsense, to spew their nonsense. File it under. You can't make this stuff up. Got to end. And it will only end when Americans wake up and get rid of the politicians who've turned into our worst enemies. They are destroying the middle class. They stand by where people are dying, where kids are becoming addicted to drugs. But all's right with the world because these folks are getting their campaign contributions from the United States Chamber of Commerce and a host of other organizations that are as immoral as organized crime. Unbelievable. I want to thank all of you for spending an hour with me today. I hope I've fired you up. I hope I've provided you with a perspective that you're not getting anyplace else. If you find this program worthwhile, what I have to say worthwhile, what I write worthwhile, pass it along. Become part of what I call my bucket brigade of truth. Please get involved, folks. We really need you out there having the debates, having the conversations. We've got to do what we need to do to protect America and Americans. And that's the work all Americans not only can do, but must do. I remind you that democracy is not a spectator sport. Please check out my articles at capsweb.org, Front Page Magazine, The Social Contract, and of course my own personal website, michaelcutler.net. I thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to seeing you again, same time next week, right here on the Michael Cutler Hour. Have a good weekend, everybody. Good night.